The shooting death of Kate Steinle by an illegal alien in San Francisco, who was deported 5 times, I remind you about that, has brought much-needed attention to the sanctuary city policies embraced by over 200 cities in America, including many in New Jersey. Even after this and other slaughters committed by illegal aliens, it's still a policy which has its defenders, believe it or not. My next guest is here to take a look at what sanctuary city policies provoke and create, as seen through his eyes and experience in law enforcement. He's a Marine veteran. Former Deputy U.S. Marshal, also served on the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, shares some of the stories and experiences from crime fighting and catching felons in his book, Chasing Bandits. Luke Adler. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here with your expertise and insight. And let's just start with this whole concept of sanctuary cities. What exactly is it allowing to have happen with criminals, not just illegal aliens, but really just what does it do as far as a crime level? Because its defenders are saying, oddly enough, that a sanctuary city is a safer city because when an illegal alien sees a crime, they won't be afraid to report it to the police. So in their theory, that means more people will be reporting crimes.
Which is a fallacy, I think, Chris. And it's a perfect example. Well, the first thing you have to ask, what are they receiving sanctuary from? In this instance, the cities are giving them sanctuary from the law. From federal law, the immigration laws that say, hey, you cannot be here present in the United States illegally because it leads to chaos. Perfect example, when Kate was shot, this bandit was allowed to come here to the United States multiple times. He fled to San Francisco specifically because he knew it was a sanctuary city.
And brought to the city by the police department through private transportation, by the way.
Right, which is illegal. There are crimes on the or laws on the book that make these actions a crime, and turning a blind eye to it is a crime. And then it shows an example. He's able to just kind of wander around the midst of the citizenry and do whatever he pleases, small crimes, breaking into vehicles, stealing things, to much more serious crimes, stealing firearms, and then to ultimate serious crime, killing our citizens. So sanctuary cities certainly don't make it safe for the citizens in those communities.
There was, this is a time span of October 2008 to July 2011, the drag time, unfortunately, crime stats is much longer than it really needs to be. This was shows that 276,412 reported charges against illegal and criminal immigrants over that three-year period as identified by Secure Communities. That's a federal program that supposed to make the best use of resources by IDing and prioritizing who gets deported, not that it ever happens. Of the 160,000 people in the database, more than 26,000 were rearrested. That accounts for nearly 58,000 crimes and violations, committing 8,500 drunk driving offenses, 6,000 drug-related violations. Other crimes include murder, battery, rape, kidnapping, 3,000 thefts, child molestation, lynching, torture. And the real outgoing one in Washington State set a mother and son on fire.
Right. And that kind of thing goes on constantly. And again, there are laws that are on the books that are there to protect us. But the problem is when people get into powers of position, political powers, and it doesn't fit their worldview to adhere to the law, and it creates chaos and makes us all unsafe and dangerous. If the sheriff's office would have contacted immigration and said, hey, this guy's in our custody, but we're ready to release him now. You have the detainer. Come and pick him up. Immigration is then bound to go out, take the guy into custody, and then deport him back to his country of origin so that he doesn't kill our citizens. But that breaks down. The other thing that breaks down, when you know, as a law enforcement guy, I've come into contact with tons of illegal aliens, and sometimes you find them in possession of a firearm or doing other crimes, selling identification documents, false identification documents, or fraudulently obtained identification documents to other illegal aliens. I've seen where people came into the country illegally and then through drugs or whatever, they raise enough money to hire attorneys, then they apply for status here, a legal status. They receive some type of legal status. And then they go into the business of importing other illegal aliens because there's such a good money in it, quite frankly. And so I've actually, you know, had somebody that hits my radar. We're going out to arrest them, and then we find out other people that they're with are illegals, being harbored by someone who is formerly an illegal. And some of them are actually out on release from administrative judges in the immigration system. And it just makes it very, very frustrating for law enforcement and dangerous to the community.
Darwin Lou Gadler, who is a former U.S. Deputy U.S. Marshal, served on the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, author of the book Chasing Bandits, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned over 200 sanctuary cities in the nation. You can find out where those are at sanctuarycities.info. But for our media concern here in New Jersey, Bridgeton, Camden, Fort Lee, Hightstown, Jersey City, Newark, Northburg, and Passaic, Union City, West New York, and ironically enough, the state capital of New Jersey, Trenton. And even with that fact, you never heard Governor, now presidential candidate Chris Christie, ever utter the phrase sanctuary city. He's actually stated, Luke, that he believes crossing the border is a crime, but living in the country after you cross the border, that's not a crime.
What is a crime? It's on the books as a crime. And the problem is the people, again, who have a different worldview that people, I mean, if basically if you went home, Chris, or if the governor went home and found burglars in his house, he'd contact the authorities and say, hey, come get these guys.
Right.
If, in fact, they said, all right, well, you know, sure enough, these guys are burglars, but we're going to let them hang out in the house and you need to feed and house them and let them just be here inside your facility. And we'll figure out down the road what we're going to do with them. Maybe try and find them little jobs or do something like that. He'd be outraged. And yet that's what these sanctuary cities do. And by allowing them to come to your city and hang out, it facilitates other crimes. If you think about it, I mean, even if someone comes here illegally and says, hey, you know what, I just want to earn a living and get my little slice of the American pie, how do they go about that? They don't have identification documents. So now the criminal elements step in and say, well, here, we'll sell you either fraudulent identification documents or fraudulently obtained identification documents. They have no way to conduct banking, so now they have to work within a shadow economy. Taxes aren't being paid, and yet taxes are being used to pay to house them, welfare benefits, things like that. So it just exacerbates the problem.
Educate the kids, charity care at the hospitals, which they use as a primary physician as opposed to an actual doctor. And here's the crazy part of this thing, Luke. You have over 200, I think it's the exact count, 232 cities around the country as sanctuary cities, just deliberately violating immigration law. Yet when Arizona says, we're going to obey federal immigration law because the feds aren't doing it, we're going to do it ourselves, the feds drag Arizona to court.
Exactly. Yes. He says, hey, not on my watch. That's not going to happen here. These people are in violation of the law. We're going to step up to the plate and take care of that. And then the feds vilify them and go after them. So what is the message that it sends to these other sanctuary cities? That, hey, we're not going to step in. We're not going to try and protect the citizens. We're not going to enforce the law. We will arbitrarily decide which laws we want to enforce and those which we do not. If you think about it, Chris, in terms of mixed signals, while this guy's up there killing Kate, up in San Francisco, the White House is having a reception for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual folks, and they invite an illegal alien transgender, and it's only when that person heckles the president that the president gets irate and tells them to leave.
That's quote my house, which correction, Barack Obama, it's the people's house. You just happen to be renting it for the time being.
Absolutely. And how did that someone with no documents get into the White House? I've been to the White House before and had to jump through all kinds of hoops to be able to get access. How does someone without documents, how do they get through the Secret Service and are they allowed into the White House at a reception?
Well, here's the hope, and the voice is already rising in San Francisco when the moron they have for a sheriff out there, Ross Mercurini, is going to be called to the carpet on this, and if only to save several people's own butts, that things are going to change out there. But I don't want to shortchange your book, Luke, because your experience and your insight with your stories and chasing bandits, I think, proves that in spite of all the hindrances and hurdles that law enforcement gets placed in front of it with policies like sanctuary cities and fast and furious and disregard for being able to do your job if you're a border agent, there are people such as yourself who are dedicated to law enforcement know that without the efforts that you guys make, then we really don't have a country anymore.
Well, that's right, and I appreciate that. I went to work every day giving the taxpayers a fair shake. I didn't call and ask anyone's permission to be able to arrest someone if I found them in violation of the law. Now, if I take them down and book them, and then the system decides not to prosecute them, that's beyond my control. But every law enforcement officer that's out there gets up, puts on that uniform or their badge every day to go in and do a good job, and it's the vacuum lack of leadership. We have a lot of management going on, and you don't manage people. You manage paper clips and pencils.
Yeah.
But you lead people, and there is no leadership from the top federal level on down to some of these local sanctuary cities.
Luke's been involved in the apprehension of many of the top 15 most wanted fugitives, major cases, over 3,000 felony arrests, high-profile national international events, the Panama raids to seize Noriega, prison riots in Atlanta, Georgia, the L.A. City riots, Ruby Ridge. The list goes on from there. And with his book, Chasing Bandits, he gives you some reassurance that there is a dedication within law enforcement in spite of the administration that's forced upon them. And there are those out there who do get the job done, and we thank God for them each and every day and pray for their safety each and every day. And hopefully they will inspire a next generation to pick up the baton and carry it even further. We hope for change out of tragedy, and hopefully this will be one of those cases too with the shooting death of Kate Steinle in San Francisco. Again, Luke's book, Chasing Bandits. Luke, thanks so much for the dedication you provide and all of your work in your career. Thanks for being here today.
Chris, thanks for having me.